To the book of Titus, chapter number 2, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. In Titus, chapter number 2, as we get ready to read this verse of Scripture, I want to take you back in your mind and your heart to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, where the Bible says in verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We find the mention of grace again here in Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11, where the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." And then chapter number 3 and verse number 7, the Bible says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I want to preach this morning on this thought, the amazing grace of God. The amazing grace of God. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank You for Your love and for Your grace. Oh, we thank You that we're the reason that You came into this world, lived, died, rose again. Now You live forevermore in heaven. You've offered us eternal life. I want to thank You, Lord, that I've experienced that grace. Lord, there may be those here today that's never trusted Thee, and I pray that this day the Word of God would take effect in their lives, would change them and help them to realize their need of Thee. And for those of us that have been saved, I pray that we'll come to a greater understanding that Your grace is not only for salvation, but it's there for other things, for every day of our lives. Lord, may we be helped by Thy Word today, strengthened by it. May we go out of here closer to Thee. Lord, may we go out of here changed to be more like Thee. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would do His work. And I pray that I'd be hidden behind the cross. Today I can't do this in myself. I can't preach in my power, my ability. I have none. So Lord, I give myself to Thee and ask You to guide me. Lord, I pray that You'll use me somehow, some way, to preach Thy Word with unction and with Thine ability, not mine. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Many things have been said about the grace of God. Songs have been written. Sermons have been preached. People's lives have been touched by it. Some define it as the unmerited favor of God. And I believe that's a good definition, don't you? We don't deserve it, but we can get it. And then some people have talked about it. I remember hearing the story about a younger man and an older man one day discussing the grace of God. And the young man said to the older man, "The grace of God is something for nothing." The older man looked and said, "It's more than that. It's everything for nothing." Some people talk about the grace of God and use words like it's the mighty grace of God, the abounding grace of God, the wonderful grace of God. Some people have used the acronym, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And all these things are good things because it's changed countless lives and it's moved people from darkness to light. It's mended broken homes, broken hearts, and broken lives. God's grace has changed liquor and drug money into groceries and clothes and shoes. It's changed drunkards into respectable businessmen, good neighbors, and even called some to preach. So no wonder when we talk about God's grace, I believe one of the greatest ways to describe it is it's amazing. God's amazing grace. It's amazing because of God's love for us. It's amazing because the Creator God would care for His creation, even though the creation, it's His crowning point of creation, mankind would turn from Him and sin. It's amazing because God would give His only begotten Son to die for our sins. It's amazing because He would forgive our sins. It's amazing because after He saves us, He promised to never leave us or forsake us. It's amazing because it'll carry us home to heaven. If you look at it from the top, it's amazing. From the bottom, it's amazing. From the side, God's grace is amazing. God's grace is there for every part of our lives. Dear friends, if we'll ever have the experience of God's grace in our lives, it'll make us a new creature in Christ. It'll change us. It'll move us. It'll help us and strengthen us to be all that God wants us to be. And I want to look this morning at a few thoughts concerning the amazing grace of God. First of all, I want you to see that it's grace that will save us. Grace that will save us. We've already mentioned in Ephesians chapter number 2, 8, 9. It's a verse that we've all memorized just about. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we understand that we come to this grace through faith. You have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and was buried and rose again. You have to believe that God's Word is true. And when you believe that, you can by faith trust the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you trust His grace, He'll save you. When you trust what the Bible has to say about your sin and about Him being the Savior, He'll wash all your sins away. There is a fountain that's filled with blood, that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose most of their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief, he rejoiced to see. The dying thief, think about it. A dying thief. He deserved to die on the cross. He was found guilty. And he was guilty. But beside the dying thief was a man who had no guilt. But it was not his guilt that took him to the cross. It was the guilt of all the world. And it was our sins that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. God's grace is amazing, isn't it? The Bible says, by grace or through faith. Then it says, not of yourselves. You're not good enough to go to heaven. You're not good enough to walk this life and be perfect and righteous. We have not that ability. But God's grace is imputed onto our account. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I want you to think about how while it's not of ourselves and it's not of works, we cannot earn our way, we cannot work our way into heaven. There's a lot of people in a lot of religions today that are trying to work their way into heaven, and I want you to know all the work they do, if that's what they're depending on to get them into heaven, they're going to stand before God one day and it's going to be all for naught. Because Jesus did the work. You remember what He said? I came to do the work of my Father. And when He was on the cross, what did He cry? It's finished. The work was done. It's not of our works. It was the work of Calvary. It was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter number 11 and verse number 6, as Paul was writing to the church at Rome, he said, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then there's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. And the Bible says that we cannot be saved by our works, so it has to be by grace. It's not by grace and works, it's by grace through faith. Grace alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. There's nothing that can be added to it. And the amazing grace of God is grace that will save us. It is because of Him I'm on my way to heaven. The Bible goes on and says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Not of works. The Bible says it is the gift of God. We don't need to be reminded of what the Bible says in John chapter 3 verse 16 when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We need not be, we do not have to be reminded today, because the Bible says it over and over again, but it clearly says it in Titus chapter 2, our text verse, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. There'll be no excuse when you stand before the Lord if you reject the grace of God. You can't get there through church membership. You can't get there through baptism. You can't get there through being good and doing good. The only way you get there is by grace, through faith. You can't get there by works. I said a few moments ago that a lot of religions are teaching work salvation, and the difference between us and them is, and I've said this many times, and you've heard it all your life, it's two letters. They say do. Do this. Do that. But the Bible says done. And I'm glad it's done, aren't you? When we think about the amazing grace of God, I think about how it's grace that will save us. And we're saved by grace through faith. And it's not of works. It is the gift of God. And I think when I think about grace that saves us, I'm reminded that God's grace covers all sin. Would you look with me at the book of Romans chapter number 5? Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 15. The Bible says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Remember, it is the gift of God, right? For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, I love this, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Today, when you look at me and when you look at yourself in the mirror, I want you to know you're seeing a sinner. A sinner that's filled with sin. We're born sinners. We are sinners. But dear friends, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In other words, when we put our faith in the finished work of Calvary, grace covered all of our sins. And we've been made whole in Christ. When Jesus Christ saved me, He gave me at that very moment eternal life. I'm not on my way to eternal life. That night in August 1985, when I bowed my unworthy head and I called out to God and I admitted to Him that I was a sinner and that I wanted Him to forgive me and to save me, at that very instant, I entered into eternal life. It is a present possession. I'm not waiting to get it. I've already got it. And if you're saved today, you already have it. You don't have to wait on it. Dear friends, you can live like a child of the King today because Christ is our King and we're already His. There's a lot of people living in this world and they're going around with the poochy lip and the clapperjaw and they think life's terrible, but I'm an heir of righteousness. I'm an heir and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not worried about what I have in this world. I'm just excited about what I have in another world. I'm excited because of what God's grace has done in my life. We see that the amazing grace of God is grace to save. But then I want you to see, secondly, it's the grace that will sustain us. It's grace not only that will save us, it's grace that will sustain us. The Bible teaches us, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we realize it is a gift. It's something that God has given to us. But then we see the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 12, and what a wonderful verse of scripture this is. Paul was writing and he said, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you, our citizenship, our conversation, our way of life. When we look at this, we realize that God's grace is there, not only to save us, but to sustain us through this life. We've studied in the book of 1 Peter the things concerning the Lord, and having an understanding about when Nero was on the throne and all the difficult things that was going on in the lives of those Jewish believers there in the book of 1 Peter, and how Peter was encouraging them and strengthening them and telling them, just keep on going because God's grace is sufficient. Over and over and over again, he says, I want you to understand the greatest thing you can do is give your life to the Lord and live your life for the Lord. And he proves it to them time and time again through scriptures. And he teaches us so many wonderful things. Well, here Paul says through God's simplicity and godly sincerity that they've had their conversation in the world by the grace of God. They've had their citizenship, their way of life. See, God has abundant grace for every believer. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 6, the Bible says, but that I say, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to as he has purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound into every good work. So we understand that God sustains us. As we do with our life what God has given to us, God will provide for us. As we give the way that God wants us to give, and I believe that when we talk about this, giving of ourselves as well as of our tithe and of our offerings, that's one thing, but we need to give cheerfully to the Lord. And as we do, the Bible says God will make His grace abound toward us. Do you understand that God will sustain us? The world may fall apart around us, but we're going to stand firm and true because God's going to take care of us. It's a promise. I was talking to a preacher friend up in the Kingsport area, actually in Gray, Tennessee, Gene Lassley. He's pastored a church up there for, I guess, close to 50 years, 40-some years. And we was talking about the condition of the world. And I said, you know, I know that it's difficult times, but I believe everything's going to be okay. God's going to take care of us. It may fall apart around us. He said, Brother Joe, you remember this. You remember this. God promised us He'd take care of us. God promised us, and that's all we have to do is rely on God's promises. And I thought, well, that's true. I'm just going to quit worrying the way I've been worrying and trust God to take care of us. I wish I had all the answers, but I know the one that does. And dear friends, God will, His grace will sustain us. You remember when the writer of Hebrews said, for He has said He will never leave us nor forsake us? Rest on that promise. You know what we do? We try to look at everything around us. We need to get back to standing on the promises of God. And God promised us He would take care of us. God has abundant grace for every believer. God even has grace for us. You know those weak times in your life? God has grace for that. Look at what the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 9 and 10. Just a page over from where you were. Paul was writing, and of course you know the story about there was a thorn that was in his flesh. And he asked the Lord to remove it. Three times he asked the Lord. But look at what the Bible says, the response of the Lord Jesus in verse 9, and then Paul's response to his response. And he, Jesus, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is an amazing statement. Paul said, I've got this thorn in the flesh, and it's the messenger of Satan. It's after me. It's attacking me. It's wearing me down. Lord, would you remove it? It's weighing on me heavy. I can't go any further. And my life is so difficult. And I've got all these different things that's attacking me. Lord, would you remove it? It's more than I can bear. It's pushing me down. I'm about to fold under the pressure. It's more than I can bear. Lord, would you remove it? And Jesus steps in and says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul, I want you to know my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Because when you get to the end of yourself, that's when I'll carry you. And Paul said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then listen to this, and we could go through this list, and I'm not today. Therefore, I take pleasure. This is amazing. Because the grace, the amazing grace of God became so real to Paul. He said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. I've told you before to circle that word then. If you've never done it, you ought to circle that word in your Bible, then. Because it's not until we get to the end of ourself that we'll find the strength of the Lord. And the grace of God says, when we get to the end of self, we get to the end of our ability, that's when His strength will take over. And then we're going to come to a day where we're going to die. And I want you to know that God will sustain us as we live for Him, as we go through the difficulties, and then as we come to the end of our days. I believe one of the greatest stories in all the Bible is the story of a man named Stephen. And the Bible gives us this account in the book of Acts, chapter number 7, and I hope that you'll look there with me. I know I usually go verse by verse, but this God laid this on my heart, and more expository usually than this, but I hope that you're getting the message. God has grace for us in the troublesome times, in the times of death. In Acts chapter number 7, Stephen had been given truths to religious leaders, to scribes, to Pharisees, and they didn't like what Stephen had to say. They stoned him. By the way, do you remember who was holding the coats of people that were stoning him? A man by the name of Paul. And I want you to know this day changed Paul's life. Paul never got over what he saw this day. As he was standing there holding the coats, he was listening to all that Peter had to say. And the grace of God in Peter's dying moments impacted Paul's life. And I believe for the rest of his days. That's why we need to realize that we need to be in the will of God until the day that Jesus calls us home. Notice what the Bible says in verse 54. When they heard these things, this message that Stephen had preached to them, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they were gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, Stephen says, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Can you imagine that? Like a bunch of kids holding their ears and making noise so they couldn't hear what Stephen had to say. And while they're making a noise and holding their ears, they run upon him all at once, and they cast him out of the city and they stone him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And as the stones were pelting Stephen's body, he kneeled down, the Bible says, and cried with a loud voice, Here's that grace that sustains us. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. God's grace is amazing, isn't it? He realized that more important than his life that day was his testimony for his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And his very last words were to the Lord about the people that were taking his life. And he said, "Lord, don't put this on their account. Lay not this to their charge." You imagine when Paul met the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road, what Paul must have been thinking about as he was driving down that road, riding that horse. And there was the Lord Jesus, and blind in his eyes. And in his mind, there's no doubt, and this isn't in the Bible, it's just some thoughts that I've thought about. In his mind, he's sitting here and he's having this personal conversation with the Lord. And in his mind, he's thinking, "Oh, Stephen believed in this. Oh, Stephen died calling upon this one. Stephen was a man of integrity." And the Lord's grace was sufficient. And it sustained Stephen, even in his dying breath. The amazing grace of God is grace to save. The amazing grace of God is grace to sustain. And very quickly, the amazing grace of God is grace to serve. And I want you to look with me at Romans chapter number 6, and verse number 14. The Bible says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law." You're not under the law, but under grace. "What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forgive. God forbid." I want you to know, grace is not a license to sin. It's a liberty to live. It's a freedom that we have. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin." You were the servants of sin, "but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." The amazing grace of God gives us grace to serve because of what we were and now because of what we are. Because of God's grace, we should have a desire to serve the Lord. In this same book, Romans chapter number 12, the Bible says in verse 1 and in verse number 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Verse number 11 says that we're not to be slothful in business, but we're to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. God saves us. God sustains us. And God's grace is there to help us to serve Him. It's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing that God would do all that He's done in our life just so that He can pour out His blessings upon us? Isn't it amazing that God would look down and see you as a sinner who deserves to die and to go to hell, and He would say, "I'm going to pay the price so that they don't have to go to hell and they can go to heaven"? And then not only does He pay the price to take us to heaven to save our soul, He says, "Well, I'm not only going to give grace to save them, I'm going to give grace so that they can make it through life. Through the good times, through the bad times, through the dying times. But then I'm going to allow them to do something else. I'm going to allow them to serve me. And as they serve me in obedience, I'm going to reward them." It's amazing to me. How could God love me that much? How could God look at me and do something so wonderful for me? I don't understand it. But I sure am glad He did. God's good to us, isn't He? I've been preaching for 20-some years now. And I want you to know He's better to me now than He's ever been. He's more precious to me now than He's ever been. And it's not because I've done so many good things. It's just because He's proven Himself to me over and over and over again. If I'll just serve Him, He'll take care of me. The Bible says, we'll close, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 10. Paul says, but by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You want to know how you're going to serve the Lord? By His grace. Because of God's grace, Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all. He gives us grace to serve. Grace to save, grace to sustain, and grace to serve. I want you to know as we close today that God's grace is available to everyone. He didn't die for a select few. God so loved the world. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God's grace is for everyone. It's a gift that's been paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll not only save you, but it'll sustain you and it'll help you to serve Him. Today you can either receive this or reject it. You can receive His salvation by grace through faith. If you're here today without Christ as Savior, there's only one way to heaven. You're not going any other way. It's by grace through faith. If you've never trusted Christ, today it's simply you putting your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. You say, preacher, I've done that. Heaven's going to be my home. Are you trusting Him to sustain you? His grace? You're trying to fight the fight on your own? Paul had to get to the point, the Lord had to weaken Paul so that he could find out that in his weakness, Christ became strong. And then how are you serving the Lord? You have your own little plan? Doing your own thing? Your own ability? It'll not add up. You serve the Lord by grace. Paul said that he was what he was. I am what I am by the grace of God. I labor more abundantly than they all by the grace of God. And this grace requires faith. And the way that you serve the Lord is by grace through faith. The way that you're sustained is by grace through faith. And the way that you're saved is by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse 10 is just as important. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, when God saves you, He has a work for you to do. Are you saved by grace? Are you being sustained by grace? Are you serving Him by grace? If not, we need to make some commitments to the Lord Jesus today, because He did everything for us and He wants to bestow His grace upon us. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Please respect those around you. Not be looking around. I want you to be so very honest about this, because God already knows. But until you admit these things to yourself, you'll never go forward in your life. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I've trusted the Lord Jesus and I have been saved by His grace. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I know that by grace I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Heaven will be my home. I'm not everything that ought to be, because none of us are perfect. But I know that I am saved by grace through faith. I've trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone for my soul's salvation. Would you lift your hand this morning? I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Happy about it. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for that. I've preached a message about the grace of God. Some of you didn't raise your hand. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I've listened and I didn't raise my hand about being saved, but right now I want to admit If I were to die today, or if Jesus were to return, I don't have the peace that I should have about heaven being my home. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. All I know is I don't want to die without the Lord, and I don't want to die without knowing for sure that heaven's going to be my home. And right now, I'm going to ask you to pray for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You didn't lift your hand just a moment ago, but right now you're saying, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me?" Would there be one this morning? "Preacher, that's me. Pray for me. I'm not saved. I didn't lift my hand just a moment ago, but right now I'm going to raise my hand. And I'm going to say, 'Preacher, I want you to pray for me.' I'm not committing to anything other than asking you to pray. Would you lift your hand? Would there be one this morning?" God bless you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. You can put that hand down. Would there be another one? Thank you for your honesty. Would there be another one this morning? "I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Preacher, would you pray for me?" How many of us would say, "Preacher, I'm saved. Heaven's going to be my home, no doubt about it. But boy, I've just been busy trusting myself and trying to pull myself up by the bootstraps, and I've really not trusted the Lord the way that I should. I trust Him for salvation, but I need to trust Him in my life. I need to realize He can sustain me and He can help me to serve Him. And God's dealing with me about some of these things right now. I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven, but God's really working in my life. And the Word of God has affected me today in a way that I realize I need to do something about it. Preacher, would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? I'm saved. God's dealing with me. God bless you, and God bless you. And thank you for that. God bless you. Would there be another one this morning? I'm dealing with this. Would there be another one this morning? God's working in my heart. I need to serve Him by grace through faith. God's dealing with me about this. Would there be another one this morning? Preacher, pray for me. Father, please have your way today. Lord, may we be obedient to Thy blessed will. I pray for this one that needs to trust Christ as Savior. I pray that this would be the day, Lord, that they trust Thee, put their faith in what You did for them on the cross of Calvary. Lord, the love that You have for them, Lord, may it become real to them. Lord, for these that have raised their hand, that they already know Thee as Savior, but they need to trust Thee for some other things, maybe to sustain them through these difficult times. Helping us to serve Thee in a greater way. Lord, help us to respond to the Spirit's working in our lives. Help us to be true to Your Word and to Your will. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you quietly stand to your feet? Heads are bowed.